I believe the victory will come when we must pass on actually a greater vigour in our movement. That younger members have got to be taught to teach and to speak out with great vigour and courage. Mrs. Thatcher is only leader of this nation because of her courage. And as a church, the worst thing we can ever do is to become what I call an old unification church. We've been dodging along years after years and doing the same old thing or something like that. That's wrong, right? We have to be entirely the opposite, prepared to skin the cat alive, as it were, and roll up our sleeves and take on the enemy and build the kind of position God wants. So when Father was here, he showed us very directly sometimes to really aggress Satan. We had 22 ministers in this room for a prayer breakfast, and immediately, you know, when I was having breakfast with Father beforehand, and I said, you know, I've got 22 ministers down in the ballroom for breakfast. I said, you know, Father, I don't like to have them here unless we feed them principle. So Father said, teach them the life of Jesus, straight away. So, you know, a lot of people have worked very hard to get those ministers here, and they wanted just a nice, quiet breakfast where we were just nice to them. And so in I came, you know, had breakfast, and then it's my turn to speak, so I just let them have it about Jesus, right? John the Baptist was a failure and a flop, and, you know, the usual stuff. And what a great man Jesus was. How fantastic is this discovery that the theologians have not been able to see for years and years and years, and here we are. Amen. Of course, they all stood up and started, yeah, we didn't come here to hear this heresy. We wanted to do this. We had a very fierce session. It lasted actually till 12 o'clock at breakfast. You know, and I think some of the people were mighty amazed at what went on. But actually, you know, Father's idea is if you put the worm of truth in, it really eats away. You know, the next time they pick up the Bible to justify their own thinking, because that's what they've got to do. They've got to go home and justify the thinking. Where's the Bible? I'll find out what's strong about those moonies and unification is. And then... maybe they're right. And after about 3 years of thinking maybe they're right, they get round to the idea we are right. And that's actually happened. We've got ministers coming back to the movement now 4 years after they heard a workshop. The truth, it just keeps eating in, because no matter how they look at the Bible, they can't cheat. They try to cheat, but it doesn't give them any satisfaction. So Father's idea, often you give a person, like a good minister, the real truth. And I'd like you just to catch the spirit of Father, because when it happened, the all sorts of persecution broke out, and I got a lot of complaints, and you know, Father said, well, now you know how it feels. So it's difficult for us to believe that sometimes our best friend is our adversary. But if you want to win a great victory, then you've got to have a great adversary. And the conflict between Moses and Pharaoh was one of mounting proportions until the final victory. And I believe our conflict with Satan and with the devil must be of a similar nature. The idea that the world will somehow just peacefully slip into divine principle, I think it's quite wrong. The idea that the churches will somehow suddenly find us is also wrong. What I think is true is this, that the leaders of the intellectual side, the people who really think, will discover us and our vigour and our spirit, and then they're going to look at us to see what kind of people we are. Then what kind of people should we be? Vigorous, truthful, bold, courageous. We don't have anything to hide. We can speak the truth and go any place. Isn't that how we should be? Or if I were going to discover Unification Church, all nervous, you know, well, I'm witnessing, but I don't know what to say. I'm this and I'm that. And you know, well, we've got public relations. We don't say anything, you know. We don't want to have that kind of movement, really. We want to have a movement that when they do discover us, they think, my, this is it. These are the people we want to be with. Really, true men, true women, standing for righteousness' sake. So, I feel this is very Very, very strong. Why? The ordinary religion in this country is a disgrace. It's not even worthy of the New Testament, and let's all recognize that, right? I refuse to call it New Testament Christianity. I call it old-fashioned religion. It's got no vigor, no spirit, no life, and is as dead as a doornail. The worst thing we can do is ever get identified with that kind of activity. What we must be is identified really with true parents, real spirit. And if we want to save Europe, don't forget Western Europe. We have to think, we have to have such spirit and fire and goodness that actually it illuminates the Iron Curtain countries in a very great way, and the Iron Curtain comes down and we break down the barriers. And those barriers are man-made, and I want to be the bloke who drives the bulldozer that packs some of that stuff up. I really mean it. Don't think God doesn't want to move his mighty hand in this hour. I think of the Second World War, you know. Nobody wanted to fight the Second World War. Everybody put their heads in the sand. There was nobody wanted it but God. God was determined to get rid of it, the evil. And so, once it had to be, and I feel very strongly in this hour, we're moving into some sort of phase where God is going to confront communism with the truth. And the Western democracies, particularly this one, have it within their power to break the Soviet Union. Certainly this one does. The Soviet Union is weak spiritually, and all we need is to uphold the truth and actually set aflame the fire of liberty behind the Iron Curtain and the floodgates of righteousness. And the next 4 or 5 years can be very great. I speak maybe heresy, because a lot of people say we've got to take 30 years to restore the communist reign. Well, I hear that. But you know, I feel directly the opposite. The moment of history is at hand. Father has accomplished everything he needs to do. So the only thing is for us to pick up the victory. Do you realize that? You know, I've watched the Unification Church change in the last 10 years. We didn't have the victory 10 years ago. We didn't have the opportunity to do the things we can do. But with Washington Monument, with the great crusades across America, with the unity of Japan and Korea, actually we are now in a totally different position than we were in 3 years ago. So there's one thing the leadership cannot afford to do, and that is go along the same old way. We really have to reach out in a much stronger position. And so I'd like you to know my heart on these kind of things. I am very serious when I say that we are very close to a very great victory for true parents. With the home church activity, laying a grassroots foundation, I'm quite certain we will have a famous victory here. Why? We already have over 200 professors acknowledging Father and positive Father. Now, many of those men are still unable to be lifted up in the higher light because of the media. So we're 80% of the way towards subjugating the media. And tomorrow I'm going to meet another of our famous academics. And I want you to know many of them are really burning for the fight. They're really wanting the struggle to be really intense so that they can be shown as victors. And the political victory that took place last week, I believe, opens the way for the final political victory in this country, to bring divine principle right into the heart of the thinking of both the socialist and the conservative parties. And we started that program last year, and I was astonished at how successful it was. We can teach them chapter 2 directly, and they accept it. It was really amazing. And we do it under the Holy Spirit Association for the Unification of World Christianity. We won't beat about the bush. Reverend Moon's activity, we teach how man fell and how crime and everything originates. And the only way to defeat crime is to have a better educational system and to teach people divine principles and teach people to love each other and love the creation and raise the vision of the country. But when we get into the whole thing, it's so interesting to see how desperately the politicians are actually looking for those answers.
So I think it's difficult for church members to see that we work to take the nation vertically and horizontally, and
The reason is this, that a lot of our work, the vertical work, getting hold of professors and getting hold of politicians and things in newspapers, must necessarily be carried out secretly. And the reason being very simple, that if it had been known that Lord Adrian, Chancellor of Cambridge University, was going to chair the science conference in 1974, he would never have made it. The attack on him would have been so vicious and so nasty that he would never have come. So that was all arranged secretly. And I'll just give you the intensity of the struggle, because I spoke in Cambridge about, oh, it must have been 18, 20 times publicly. And we had a great conflict in Cambridge, and the church leaders wanted to get us kicked out. And I always remember the final meeting was in the Quaker, well, the final meeting but two was in the third. First place we got kicked out of was the Quaker meeting house, where we held our meetings regularly. And I was giving a speech there, and they gave us notice to quit, and they said, you know, that we'd been banned from their premises in Cambridge. And as a result of the banning, a lot of Quakers turned up to see what in the world was going on. And there was this little Quaker lady. So I always believe in going down with all guns firing and letting people know that the old British tradition of freedom of religion has been sold down the river by a bunch of narrow-minded, you know, religionists who can't call themselves Christians, because Jesus was never narrow-minded. Anyway, they had a real good, strong meeting, you see. And then I came to the back of the hall to sort of nail everybody as they went out. And this leading Roman Catholic, actually, who was the devil's disciple, who had arranged this being kicked out, he came, he was sitting in the audience, you see, and he came with all, looking very, you know, proud of himself. He was just coming up to me, and this little old Quaker lady came up to him. She said, "You're the cause of all this. You're the devil's work. You go down the stairs and don't ever come back either." And she went after this Roman Catholic, and I was just stood there, you know, gosh. And when she came back, she, you know, commiserated with me and said, you know, she said, "I don't agree with all this that is going on." She said, "You know, we Quakers, we're very free people and tolerant people, and when you talk about God the way you do, I know what you say is right." And all this, you know, real good conflict situations. And then we got kicked out of two other Anglican churches, and then the police carried out a great investigation into the movement in Cambridge. All the time, we had stolen the ace out of the pack, the Chancellor of Cambridge University, where all this was going on, you know, and we were taking the indemnities on the chin. And, you know, we came back to Lancaster Gate, and I saying, you know, not to Lancaster Gate, to Wembley, was I saying, you know, "Heavenly Father, don't tell anybody. We'll pay more indemnity, but don't let anybody know we've got the ace out of the pack." And, you know, I want you to just remember, to combat Satan requires certain realism. And when we become powerful enough, then it's very opportune to really let the public know how strong is our position. Now, there are one or two professors who don't mind anyway. They're like Professor Jones, and he's a very unique man, and he's a great scrapper and a man of great character. But most professors don't like the hurly-burly of getting in the crossfire with the media. You get a lot of pressure. So I would, you know, like you to think very seriously that there's a lot of good work done and gone on over the last 5 years, which is really somewhat hidden. But God has got his grip on the academic community in this world, and his grip on the newspapers. The Times is really suffering, and the Telegraph is suffering, and the Daily Mail is coming to its turnaround very shortly. And a lot of the others are suffering too. And it's our intention to keep up their suffering until they come out with righteous statements. And then the politicians. So please, when you think of your home church activity, remember that this is the final hour of victory. Through the home church activity, we are like penetrating the ordinary folk in this world, and we're finding the extraordinary good people. And when they see soon the real depth of the movement here, you know, I think our movement is going to go like a whirlwind. I really mean this, because
There's nothing like our Saviour any place. And Father himself has put so much effort into this country. I remember he worked out once, he told me, you know, I spent something like $2 million on British academics, because British academics have gone to every meeting from the beginning, and they've been a great force in all the recent meetings, and actually they've travelled thousands of miles to support Father and everything, and all that has gone on, and it's all there, this tremendous goodwill for Father. Even the seminary has brought in like 5 Church of England theologians to be part of that. And when Father starts a seminary here, the recognition from the authorities is automatic. We have really, on the board of the National Committee for Religious Education, the necessary support already. They're actually encouraging us in the right direction. So spiritually, to me, Satan must be very angry with me. Those of us who are really involved in the activity, because if you're getting onto the right path, and if you're really making the right headway, and if we are getting together the right people in the government and the right people in the right places for the final struggle, then there must necessarily be some sort of attack on Doris and I. And I'd like you all to remember that God works in unusual ways. My whole nature of life has been to dedicate myself to what I consider the important thing. And before the family I did this, and I was a very serious young man, and I was a very energetic young man. And even now in the principle, I may appear sometimes to be a little unusual and sometimes under a lot of pressure. And I would say this, that if we are going to really tackle the Satans in this country, like leading newspapers and TV media, there must be actually a lot of people really promoting and thinking they like to get rid of me, right? I mean, I've felt spiritual battles for months on end, right? And some people have called me the most frightening man of the land, and so I always say that's a wonderful compliment. I like the devil to be frightened. We must try and feel the other side of our hearts. So, when we fight these battles, we fight them so that actually I like the witnessing and the fundraising to be protected. Why should witnesses suffer from bad media, and why should fundraisers suffer from bad media? So Father's heart is a very protective one. So in fighting some of these battles, I'm trying to understand it, trying to protect your work and your activities so that we can do much more. And some of the victories, like the victory we had over Paul Rose, when Father arrived on May the 13th, the Home Office quoted Paul Rose as a reason for rejecting his entry into this country. Now, before the hearing, about 7 weeks before the hearing, Paul Rose was forced to apologise in the High Court. Now, it took us actually 4 years to get that man, that Member of Parliament and barrister, into the High Court. 4 years. The guy was wriggling and twisting like a real Satan. And all the time he was spewing back junk. And it was like, you know, I was desperate at one place. You know, I used to say, you know, why can't I tell Father about it? So we got the victory. And always he would sneak out again with some legal reason for postponing the whole thing and getting round it. And then we have to get our lawyers on to getting him back again. And, you know, I used to burn with resentment that I couldn't actually go to Father and say, we got him, right? And now I know why. Because Father came, Satan tried to stop him, and they said, well, Paul Rose, Member of Parliament, he's one of the people who made complaints and everything. So then we could say, well, actually, that's proven untrue. We got him in the High Court. But God didn't allow us to get him there until really the moment we needed him there. Do you understand that? So then when we get down to the final argument, actually God gave us ironclad position to subjugate Satan. And I think this is an important thing to really learn. When Moses stood in front of Pharaoh, he stood with the power of Almighty God. And we must remember that is our position too, right? Don't think God wants to send you into an impossible position. He doesn't. He wants to give you the ammunition for you to really subjugate Satan. And that is why, like I can see, all the pieces falling into place and God really being able to use this nation. We're going to have the right people as Prime Minister. We're going to have the right people in the right position, and we're going to subjugate the Soviet Union and everything else. I mean it. And you mark my words, history is being written in this hour, and true parents are going to be declared King of Kings and Lord of Lords, not here, but in Moscow, in Peking, and in Pyongyang. And I want you really to remember, I may speak very unusually, but God is going to pull off greater works than he did in the Second World War, and greater things than in the First World War, and is desperate for the restoration. And all we have to do is actually stand with Heavenly Father and true parents. Amazing. God will never let us down. Thank you very much.
Can give a testimony about Korean experience. Okay? It's great.
Yeah, I was asked to give a testimony about how I came to this,
our church,
how I found God,
how I joined,
and especially about some experience.
Explained to you.
Actually, the deepest experience
actually I found in our homeland, Korea. But first, I would like to give you a little overview of how I came to our church.
Will you hear this?
Yes.
You have heard already, Mr. Koch, spiritual father.
And you have already Mr. Blanchard, my spiritual son.
So,
and tonight, I'm in the middle.
But I did not hear what they said.
No. Now I have to really watch out.
Before I came to our church, actually, there was a long preparation ahead, which I realized much later. I was born in a part of Germany, what is today East Germany. And actually, all my education has been under communist control and communist direction. So, as all young people in this country, I had to walk the school in this direction, being educated. And there was one thing which worked in my heart. I found I have to find some balance against all this day and night influence, not to become a communist myself. I was not a religious person at all, and my parents also did not educate me especially. But at that time, this has been the year after the war, there was still a possibility to get in church work involved. So, actually, more for the reason to find some balance in my soul, I became an active person in the youth.
You know, so many times I've been with Father and his children have been crawling all over him and doing all kinds of things. So, to see Father's nature and mother, and not just on an external side, but to really see the depth of value is very important in true parents. True parents' heart is really a very, very fantastic heart. And until you can grasp the depth of courage of Father in tackling the most difficult problems facing mankind. You know, I always think it's easy to try and think of courage in various ways, but there's two or three kinds of courage. And certainly the courage that Jesus displayed when he went down to Jerusalem knowing he was going to suffer is something that Father has displayed many, many times. When he went to Pyongyang, when he came down again, he known many times that Satan would cause him suffering, and even God caused him suffering, but he's always marched with a happy heart onwards and always loved God in a very, very great way. And it's that beauty to see Father prepared to battle, like with the Soviet Union, with the entire forces of the devil, and see his spirit. So many times I've been there when, you know, bad news has come in, you know, the latest persecution, and I've watched Father very diligently, and I've always seen that kind of smile come across him as he sort of just shakes his head at the next insult and the next thing. But we shouldn't be lulled into inactivity by Father's depth of heart. Now, the point I make is this: Father has not come here to just suffer the insults of the media and others, and we must be very clear about that. Our job is to protect Father, defend Father, and bring Father to the position where he can be declared King of Kings, Lord of Lords. If we are true children, the worst thing a child can find is to see his parents in the greatest difficulty. I really mean this. The worst thing a child can find is to see parents suffer unjustly. Now, we have all witnessed Father suffering unjustly, so when that happens, we must count ourselves guilty, because we didn't prevent it, we didn't fight the battle harder, we didn't subjugate Satan and get into the action. So spiritually, there's one great law which I'd like you all to remember. That is that if you really defend Father, he will always defend you too. If you stand for righteousness, God will protect you. So Father really needs dynamic sons and daughters who will stand up and subjugate Satan. So I didn't mention it in my previous spiritual history, but while I was coming along the spiritual path before the family, I once received that I was a Joshua. I had two deep revelations from the Old Testament. One was to do with the prophet Daniel, and the other was to do with Joshua. And when I had this revelation that I was a Joshua, I thought, my gosh, I'm going to have to fight military battles. Because I went straight and figured out, what did Joshua do, you know? Oh, he wiped out 33 kings. My gosh, you know, must be going into war, right? So I started all the leading battles of the world, and all the military commanders for quite some time. Actually, I was very serious about it. I thought, my gosh, you know, probably going to have to fight communism, and you know, and I was actually very intrigued by it all, because studying those things, I began to see how God really turns the destiny of battles. And it didn't turn, of course, until I heard principle. I understood more that we should all be like Joshua. We should all want to go out and subjugate Satan and build the kingdom. And so I remember kind of really feeling intensely that one day we might have to really scrap it out. And looking at principle more deeply, I feel that we're moving into that final stage now, if you want to know the truth. I feel that the final conflict to destroy communism is not far away. And what it needs, really, is great dynamism and spirit, and because of true parents, we are actually the movement that's going to break down a whole colossus. And I felt that, like, I'd like to wipe out 33 newspapers.
that attack father. You know, Joshua killed 33 kings. Can't go around knocking kings off these days. There's not even 33 around, is there? So, but if you think kings are the devil, who are the leading kings of the devil? Well, most of the newspapers who spread their rottenness. So I set about subjugating the media in this country, and I think we've just about made it on the national press, actually. The national media is very careful now what they say about father. So we've got a mopping up operation with one or two local newspapers, and we will have subjugated the media. There are three things that I feel very important. Home church program is the basis for victory. There's no question about that. It's the grassroots level. But there are three things that I feel we have to win the nation. And I've always been a man determined to win the nation. One is to win the academic world. And because Father had the conference here in 74, we have over 200 professors positive Father. Number two is to win the media. And I think we're 80% of the way in winning the battle of the media. And the third is to win the politicians. And we're just really starting that kind of program to win the hearts of the politicians. And that started last year. And I was really very impressed with what went on. We don't have large numbers of PR people, but our minds are very clear about what we need to do to win the nation. So I want you just to think seriously. To win a nation, you can have 300,000 people and still have your nation be delivered to hell. Because what are 300,000 in 50 million? Nothing, you know. So it's a question of what are we really going to be as a movement. We don't want to be just numbers. We've got to be dynamic revolutionaries, able to speak and teach principle wherever we go, reach out into the home churches throughout the land. We need the 500 best preachers in the country. We need to be such a dynamic spiritual force that we actually inspire and govern the thinking of the nation. So we don't want to be like another church, like the Congregational Church. We've got to be a real revolutionary group, always up to something. And that brings me back to that first statement I read about Father, that we have to be the bullets to attack the enemy, we have to be the shields to protect the nation, and we have to be completely determined and understand that because of true parents, God, and through the victories at Yankee Stadium, Madison Square Garden and Washington Monument, actually the victory is for us to take in true parents' name. That is our real destiny. So when you pray, I'd like you to try and feel how urgently God needs a nation. Number two is how God has prepared this nation to be his standard bearer. In the First World War, it was this nation that ran the flag up and suffered the greatest casualties of all. And it was this nation in the Second World War that fought the long years from 1939 to 1945. And in both occasions, America only followed this nation. And I believe in the third conflict, we have got to be in the position where we stand vigorously for the truth and the love of God and the principle, and America will follow. And I believe history turned its moment last week when Mrs. Thatcher was elected. And I know God blessed this country with oil. Like God discovered America at the last moment of history, the last final 400 year period of preparation for the Messiah. But like God blessed this nation with oil, not at the last hour, but at the last second. So the only industrialized nation on this earth, we can be totally independent of all forces of blackmail. We are not subject to Arab pressure, to American pressure, to any other kind of pressure. We actually in this island can stand up and fight vigorously for liberty, for justice, for God. And I'm quite certain that all these things have been put together, including the crusade. When Father came here May the 13th last year, he said to me, I stayed in England. There's only two countries I've stayed in longer. That was Korea and America. To stay 120 days in England was the longest he'd ever stayed anywhere. And I know that spiritually there is a great significance that this nation must be the nation that really sacrifices itself in the stand for the values we so dearly love. I believe the victory will come when we must pass on actually a greater vigour in our movement.